Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. I'm Grace Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. Thanks for joining me today. Hope today will be a blessing to you and really a challenge. Over these next few devotions, Lord willing, we want to get out as soon as we can. But, you know, I was thinking today, we're headed toward the end of the year, are we not? This is a year that is closing down. We have about just a little bit, about 6 weeks to go. And we are going to embark on the year 2025. That's another couple hundred years away. Anyways, 2025. Now, when I was in school, and we used to watch sci-fi movies and read about books about the future. And here we are. We're in the future. Now, we're not flying like the Jetsons yet. We're still arguing over electric cars. But, you know, we're in for a change. We just had election year, and change is inevitable. President Trump, along with his appointees, will begin to take their seats at the beginning of the year. And some are looking forward to a great change, while others are somewhat skeptical of a change. Yet, as Christians, we ought to pray for a change, to pray for a change for the better for God, that his name would be exalted, and many of the decisions that we will be faced with or that are going to come up. And we want God to be glorified. We want God to be honored in our nation, and we want to do that. And with that said, we certainly need to pray. We need to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for those as a president in the House, the Senate, the Cabinet, and the representatives, and so on, both on the national level and on the civil level. We need to pray for those in authority. And we might ask the question, can God still answer prayer? And can God, or would God answer prayer? Prayers of his people. The prayers of the church. You know, it was last week when, right before the election night, that we prayed as a church. We gathered around together and we began to pray, and individually, both ladies and men, we all prayed together and we asked God to intercede and make himself known. And we prayed for mercy. We prayed that God would just be merciful on us as a nation, because we have gone so far from him and we have turned from him. And the God that we worship is a God of self. And we prayed for God's mercy to give us an opportunity to try to reach more hearts. I told our church that if you reach the heart, you reach the man. If you reach the man, you reach the nation. And that's what we want to do. We need to pray for those that that are in authority, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not. We need to pray for them, pray for their salvation first and foremost, and then pray that God's hand would lead them in a proper direction. You know, Solomon dealt with this very thing. The nation of Israel, the Jewish nation, were so far deep in sin that God's hand was on them, and Solomon wanted them to turn around. He wanted them to come to the Lord, and he wanted them to get right with God and ask forgiveness. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he gives a grocery list of many of the sins that the nation of Israel were practicing, and he was almost going one by one. You know, God, if they come to you about this problem, would you forgive them? And then, God, if they come to you about this problem and this problem, and he went on and on and on. And then you find that the answer that God gives him is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We use this verse, and it certainly does apply to the church today, although in the context, as I told our church, it does, it is in the context towards Israel, but it does make application to the church today, for we are his people. We are God's people. We may not be the Jewish nation, but we are God's people through adoption, through salvation, and we are the church that Jesus himself said he will build, and he is doing that even today. So we are his people. So when we come to 2 Chronicles 7:14, there was a transitional word, or not a transitional word, but more of a responsibility word. Because Solomon's saying, God, if they do this, and if they do that, and if they do that, and if they do that, God comes back to Solomon and says, if they do this, if, it's an option, all right? It's up to you. You now have the a ball in your court. You now take the lead rein on this. I will fulfill my part if you fulfill your part. So he says, if my people in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Certainly we need to do that. We need to come before God in humility. You cannot come to God without humility. So he says, come to me, you humble yourselves and pray, seeking my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now he was saying this to Solomon towards nation, but it would also apply if we say, turn from our wicked ways. And then God says, then and only then, not previous to this taking place, not prior to your prayers, and certainly not premature, then and only then will I hear from heaven. In other words, then I will, on my throne, as Paul says in the book of Hebrews, we come before the throne of grace, he says, then and only then will I hear from heaven, or in heaven, your prayers. When I do, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. Now, there is no doubt that our land needs healing, does it not? It really does. Let's not be ones that would say, adopt the attitude of this is impossible. There is just no way that God can intervene or intercede in our nation to where bring about a change. We might entertain that very thought. Well, there is just no way. I mean, we are so far gone. We are so far in sin. We are so far in rebellion that God cannot do that. God can't step in. Yes, he can. God is the God of the impossible. That means that it is very possible that God can and he will, he wants to do this. And when we pray and we ask God to intercede on our nation, we are asking God to bring about a great change. Listen, if he changed a man by the name of Paul, a man that went from a murderer of Christians to a messenger for Christians, he was a destroyer of the church, and then he became a church planter. He was a gospel prosecutor, and now he's a gospel proclaimer. He at one time received letters to persecute the Christians, and then he went to writing letters for the Christians or to the Christians for their growth and maturity. He was one that tried to stifle the flame of the gospel. Now he was one, he went from there to fanning the flame and trying to spread the gospel. Listen, if God can change a man like that, he can change anybody. He was one that Paul became a very wonderful example of God interceding on the behalf of one man that can make a major, major change. Don't you think that God can change anyone? I do. I think God can change the hearts of so many, especially in our nation. And if he can do that, change the hearts of so many in our nation, it'll result in an upswing. It'll result in a rise in our country for the glory of God. And I believe that. I hope you do. And that we begin to trust God for his promise. It reminds me of a story or of an account in the book of Jonah about a city. Now Nineveh was the city. Nineveh was part of the nation of Syria. Syria was a godless nation. They were a sinful nation. They were absolute enemies to the children of Israel. And in their future, in their near future, they had anticipated and were anticipating going up against Israel. They were going to fight against the Jewish nation. Now, God sent a man by the name of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God that he had worked there as far as a prophet for many years on behalf of the nation of Israel, and he's seen God do some wonderful things, some great things, fulfill his promises, prove his power, provide what was needed for the children of Israel. And Jonah's seen all this. Now, Jonah was reluctant to go to Nineveh, and we say, well, he was just full of sin, and he was rebellious at heart, and, I cannot say that that's not true, but there was a reason why he was rebellious. Because he knew God. Because he knew, Jonah said, that he knew that if he went to Nineveh, that they would believe. And if they believed, then they also would understand who the God of Israel was and trust in the same God that Jonah trusted in. And Jonah didn't want that. They were enemies. Jonah hated them. They were going to come up against them. They chided against them. And Jonah would rather see his enemies fall under the mighty hand of God than know and love and serve God. Jonah knew that there was great repentance. And that repentance and the change went from the hobo in the gutter to the king on the throne. How did that happen? How did that change come about? How did that change take place? Listen, for a nation to change, and we could even use our nation, and certainly Nineveh is an example, but how can a nation change? A whole nation. Well, a nation would change through a few things that need to take place. And we'll discuss it briefly today, and maybe we'll get into it more throughout our devotions over the next couple weeks. But here's something that in order for a nation to change, and really for even as a Christian to intercede in praying for a nation to change, the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to believe God will uphold his promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that it's your responsibility to come before me humbly, praying, seeking my face, turning from your wicked way. And God says his promise would be that he would hear from heaven, he'd forgive our sins, and then he would heal our land. That's the promise. So in order for a nation to change, in order for the Christian to have an impact, we must believe that God will uphold his promise. So when Jonah came into Nineveh as a marathon runner going from one side to the other, and in the square of the city began to chant and shout, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," there was no message of repentance there. It was a message of a promise. Now, in Nineveh, they didn't need God. They had their own gods. They had their own agenda. This was a city that was saturated in sin. They were sinfully living, and they thought sinfully. Sin was their determination. They were self-reliant. They were self-righteous, and they were just plain selfish. They had no need of God in their life. They had their own gods. There was no need for another power. Why, they had one of the greatest nations, the greatest armies, the Syrian army. They had great power. They had no need of God. They had their own. However, when Jonah came through that city, when he began to stutter and stammer and began to proclaim what God was about to do, the message that the city received was a promise of pure destruction. It was a promise of either destruction or there was going to be salvation. There was going to be a change. That promise that Jonah gave, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," was a promise that there was going to be no one to escape. We prayed for mercy. We prayed last Monday night before the election that God would have us mercy, because we knew and we do know that the judgment hand of God is upon America. And we see that more and more. The farther we turn from God, the farther we go from God, the greater the hand of judgment. So we are praying that God would allow the church to intervene through prayers, through preaching, through proclaiming the gospel to change the hearts, to bring about a change. And we need to believe that if we do that, that God promises that he will fulfill his part. Now, Nineveh was not unfamiliar with the power of God. Although they didn't need him, they did not even entertain the thought of adopting him as part of their entities, or deities, I suppose. Yet they knew God. They understood Nineveh was not unfamiliar to them. They seen him or heard of the great conflicts and conquests and the victories that Israel had through the hand of God. History tells them of the miracles. History tells them of the power. History tells them of how the Egyptians had been drowned in the Red Sea. So Nineveh was not unfamiliar with God. They seen his hand among many of the enemies of the nation of Israel. And now all of a sudden, they receive this message that they are under the judgment hand of God. And in 40 days, if nothing takes place, if nothing transpires in that city, God was going to destroy it. That was the message. They had to believe in God's promise. They had to believe that what was said, what Jonah had preached, was absolute, was going to take place. They had to believe that. They knew that that God, or the God of Israel, was an unmatched God. They knew that he was undefeated. They knew that he was the most powerful. They had no chance against that God. When that God intervened on the behalf of the nation of Israel, no one could stand in their way. And by the way, nobody still can stand in their way. Other nations rose against Israel and they lost. Other nations had their own God. They found themselves under the mighty hand of the one true God. And Nineveh didn't want to experience that. Therefore, Nineveh, the city, believed in that promise. That in 40 days, once that was gone, the 40 days, then God would destroy the city. Their belief, the city's belief on the promise of God, changed their direction. It changed their devotion. It changed their demise, their end. If we want to see a nation change, if we want to see our nation change, it is absolutely necessary that we and they must believe that God will uphold his promise. If we come to God before him as a church, as a body of believers, we need to believe, praying, that God will bring about a change. For those of you that have prayed for President-elect Trump to be in office, God heard the prayer. God's promise is true. And if we believe that God's promise, what he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that he will heal a nation, he will hear our prayers, and that in order for us to see a nation change, we need to come before him. We need to believe in that promise that he will do that. Humble ourselves. Seek his face. Pray. Pray for those in authority. Pray for their salvation. Pray for God's absolute heaviness upon the hearts. And eventually, prayerfully, we'll see our nation turn from our wicked ways. But it begins with the church. It begins with the Christian believing that God will uphold his promise. If Nineveh, a godless city, believed this small message by a prophet that was reluctant to share it, yet that city believed, they turned. Now, Christian, I hope you believe that God can change a nation, because he can. But it begins with our belief that he will uphold his promise as we seek his face. May God help us do that. May God help us pray, intercede on the behalf of those who have rule over us. And let's begin to see a nation change. I'm Greg Sankey, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. Thanks for joining me today. If you would, come by and visit with us here at 1045 Monroe Concord Road in Troy, Ohio. And you can go and join our media page, our media ministry, by going to our Facebook page and our YouTube page. And you can certainly like, subscribe, and be notified each time that we are on the air. If you have any questions, please email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I will answer you as quickly as I can. If you're looking for a church that loves, a church that preaches truth, a church that stands on the Word of God, would you come by and visit with us? We'd be happy to have you, and you'd be my very, very special guest, all right? Thanks again for joining me today and for our time of devotions from Calvary. I hope to see you here at the church sometime or see you online. Lord bless you.